Since the earliest days of the church, even the time when we were in the catacombs, we have read this gospel passage this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. In one way, we have one big Easter celebration that lasts for 8 days, called the Octave of Easter. So last Sunday, we remembered the resurrection of our Lord. And all during this week, for daily Mass Gospels, we've had the different appearances of our Lord that were recounted. And today, we conclude this octave with this beautiful gospel, which in the first part is set at Easter Sunday evening, and then the last part is set on this evening. Also, though, this is Divine Mercy Sunday, declared by our late Holy Father, Blessed Pope John Paul II, in the year 2000, to commemorate the infinite mercy of God that is poured forth to us through our Savior Jesus Christ. So we pause and we look at this beautiful gospel. Here these apostles on that very first evening of Easter were frightened. They're behind locked doors. One can imagine all the turmoil in their hearts and their minds, wondering what has happened. After all, there were reports that the tomb was empty. Peter and John had seen that for themselves. Some disciples had already seen the risen Lord, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. There were other false reports about the body being stolen and so on from the scribes and Pharisees. So all this confusion, let alone the fear of what would happen to us now. Look what happened to Jesus. What will the Jews and the Romans do to us? But then our Lord appears and he says, "Peace be with you." What a beautiful welcome to show them that he is with them. Now, our Lord doesn't appear as a resuscitated corpse. This isn't like Zombie Land or Night of the Living Dead. Yes, he appears glorified, radiant. He can appear suddenly, and yet he can also eat a meal. He can be touched. So something gloriously, miraculously has happened in this resurrection. Our Lord, though, has his wound marks. Why? One would think that if he was going to rise from the dead in this glorious condition, why not like a perfected existence, an appearance? But he keeps his wound marks because they're essential to who he is and what he has done for us. Our Lord suffered for us. Our catechism continues to teach that it is our sins that crucified him. So our Lord, the love of God incarnate, took upon himself our sins and offered that sacrifice to forgive them. Christ, by his very passion, death, and resurrection, has not only even forgiven sin, he has also risen to give us the hope of everlasting life. So here we see this infinite mercy of God, something that we should never forget. We should always remember we need a Savior who not only forgives, but also allows us to rise to a new life and prepares us for an everlasting life. This is the message that the church has proclaimed all of these centuries, but it continues to emphasize this over and over. Well, Pope John Paul II, having lived through all kinds of turmoils in his own life, all kinds of wars, the Nazis, the communists, and so on, realized how important it is to focus on the infinite mercy of God. And that's why he declared this Sunday as Divine Mercy of Sunday. He was inspired because in 1931, Sister, now Saint, Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun who lived outside of Krakow, had a series of visions of our Lord, as depicted in the picture in front of the ambo, which our Lord asked her to have painted. Our Lord appeared to her glorious again and radiant. He also appeared with his wound marks. He appeared too, with his heart brightly shining, but two beams of light, one red and one this bluish white color, pouring forth from his sacred heart. This was reminding us of what happened at the crucifixion when the Roman soldier, St. Longinus, pierced the sacred heart of our Lord and outflowed blood and water. Always those sacraments, the bluish white symbolizing baptism, the water, and then the red light symbolizing the blood, the Holy Eucharist. These beautiful sacraments by which we're given new life. First, the forgiveness of sin, and then also the nourishment we need to live a life of grace in union with our Lord. So Jesus said to Sister Faustina, have this image replicated. Also at the bottom right, Jesus, I trust in you. Our dear Lord also said to her, tell the people that if they will not believe because of my words of mercy, tell them to believe because of my wounds. How important that is, because of my wounds. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is why we always keep Jesus on the cross. Because it reminds us that, yes, he died for our sins. But it also shows us how much he loves us. How much God loves us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we look at that cross and we're mindful of how much God loves us. Not only now, but he wants to share life with us for eternity. Well, with that in mind, should we not see immediately the importance of the sacrament of penance? Notice how on Easter Sunday evening, Jesus appeared to the apostles. He showed them his wound marks. He says, peace be with you. And then he breathes on them. He gives them that first sharing of this life of the Spirit. And he says, what sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Here's the formal institution of the sacrament of mercy. Penance. When we think of our Lord then, how important this is, we have to be mindful. Here's one of the seven sacraments. In that vision of St. John of the Revelation, that end times that we heard in our second reading, he sees Jesus, and there's the seven lampstands. Could they not be the seven sacraments? Absolutely, because it's those seven sacraments that keep us united in the life of Almighty God. So this sacrament is as important as any other. When our former Holy Father, Pope Benedict, was in the United States just 5 years ago at Washington National Stadium, he said, much of the renewal of America depends upon the renewal of the sacrament of penance that inspires holiness through its conversion and message of forgiveness. We have to take this to mind. If we really want to grow in holiness and grow closer to our Lord, first of all, we have to be mindful that we need forgiveness. Who of us here would say, I have not sinned? St. John would say in his letters, anyone who says, I am not a sinner, is a liar. We all sin. We violate the love of God, that love that we owe to God, the love we owe to neighbor, even our very selves. That's what sin does. But no matter how grievous the sin is or how light, if we really are in love with God, we feel contrition, that sorrow for our sin, not just because we fear hell or some other kind of punishment, but because we've hurt the God we love so much, also our neighbor. And again, even ourselves. When we go to confession, though, and we pour out our heart, then hearing those words of absolution, we know we're forgiven. The grace of God restores us. That past is wiped away. And now we're brought to a new life. It's like a death and a resurrection. And when we leave that confessional, we go not looking at a past, but looking forward to a new life with our Lord. I've talked to many Protestant ministers over the course of 29 years of being a priest. And I remember this one Episcopalian minister saying to me that it's so hard to give comfort to people who are dying because they are reflecting on the past and they're wondering, can I be forgiven? And he says to them, yes, pray for forgiveness. But he said to me, I wish we had something like you Catholics have, confession. I wish we had that confession so that they could know for sure that they are forgiven. Think about that. When we go to confession and we pour out our souls, receive absolution, we're forgiven. The devil would like us to have doubts. Am I forgiven? The devil would like us to stay in the past and think about all those things that we've done. But if that ever happens, you and I, having gone to confession, can say, get behind me, Satan. That's not me anymore. And thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you forgave me. That's our perspective. And that's why confession is so important. But when we go to confession, we're then mindful, we're called to forgive. In the prayer, the Our Father, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How easy it is to hold on to hurts. I'm sure all of us here have been hurt, maybe very grievously at times, maybe by people who love us, our own loved ones, and yet, the devil would love us to hold on to those hurts. Think of people who've gone through years of some kind of an abuse, whether it's spousal, verbal, physical, sexual, whatever kind of abuse it might be. Think of the woundedness those individuals have. Well, they could be locked into that past. Oh, the devil would love that too, because then they're stuck there instead of looking at the blessedness of the present, looking to a future of great hope. Instead, we have to forgive, because only in forgiving do we find freedom from that past and from that hurt. My dear friend Bishop Curlin related a story to me about his own father. His father was an army officer during World War II and was in the first group that liberated Dachau concentration camp outside of Munich, Germany. And his father said it was just an awful experience. Here he saw soldiers cry. It was so horrible what they saw. Yet at that point, there were all the prisoners there. And one has to remember that Dachau wasn't so much an extermination camp like Auschwitz. It was a camp for the malefactors of society, the people who were anti-communist or anti-Nazi and so on, but also for priests. 2,900 priests were imprisoned at Dachau, two-thirds of whom would die. They even had a special cell block for the priests and special tortures and so on. That's another homily. But anyway, so these priests were there, and they had rounded up some of the guards. So the American soldiers had some of the Waffen-SS guards there. And Colonel Curlin said to one of the priests, Father Mueller, did any of these people mistreat you? What about this one here who is the leader of the guards? And Father Mueller simply said, he didn't treat us any worse than the others, knowing that if he said yes, that man would have been shot. Later on, around 1962, so life has gone on. Some of those soldiers were imprisoned, then released. Father Mueller is walking down the plaza in Munich, the main street, and he comes face to face with this SS guard. And the SS guard immediately recognizes Father Mueller and vice versa. The SS guard is wondering, is this priest going to start screaming Nazi, something like that? And Father Mueller instead hugged him and said, I forgive you. He said at that point he was finally freed from Dachau. Well, my brothers and sisters, are any of us here imprisoned? Easter is a time of forgiveness, a time of resurrection, a time of new freedom. Don't allow the devil to imprison you. It's not easy to forgive. And sometimes intellect has to catch up with the feelings and feelings with the intellect and so on. But at times we just have to say, as our Lord said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. How important confession is. If you didn't go to confession during Lent in preparation for Easter, do it during the Easter season. Take a good look at life. And also a look at your own life. Time to forgive. Because our Lord, as he said to John in that vision of Revelation, I'm the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, because he's present. We don't live in the past. We live in the present love of God. Think, too, how differently our world would be if we lived this message, not only to seek forgiveness, but to forgive. Perhaps we would have the peace we so often look for. We live in a world where we don't find peace. Why? I think because people don't realize I'm a sinner. Instead, we find fault. Always finding fault with others. Look what that person did. Or the news media likes to point out all the faults of others. You know, they build up someone, then they tear that person down. We seek vengeance, don't we? It's always the vengeance. The kid at school who's bullied gets the gun, shoots innocent people. Or we want some kind of retaliation. Like we have the lawsuits. Someone does me wrong, sue. Don't forgive, sue. Katherine Jackson suing for $40 billion over Michael Jackson's death. Please, get real. When we think about all this, if people really understood that we're sinners and we need forgiveness, and at the same time we're able to forgive, then we would find peace. So yes, Pope Benedict was right. The future of America really depends upon how well we return to the beautiful sacrament of penance. And that's why, if we really want to live the Easter message, we turn to our risen Lord and we ask for his infinite mercy. May God bless you.